Well, we gonna get ready to get into this introduction here, get started. Since I had you for about 2 hours, thank you, Pastor Les. You know, I'm not just kidding. just kidding. We're talking today about male and female. The difference was not to divide, but unite. God made male and female different by design. By show of hands, who believes that the man is the lover, meaning more nurturer, and the woman is the achiever? By show of hands. Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you, because that was the opposite there, right? So to sum that up, in Ephesians 5:33, God tells the man to love his wife as himself, and the wife to respect her husband. The deepest need for the wife is to be loved and cherished. And the deepest need, or the greatest need, for the man is to be admired or respected. Naturally, before the pre-fall, the woman is the lover. The man is the achiever. God gave her a nurturing aspect, while God gave him a hard exterior to dress and keep the garden. A wife receives a blessing when her husband is loving, romantic, and tender towards her. A husband receives a blessing when he is admired by his wife. Who is better? Male or female? Neither. Neither is better. Just different. God made one woman for man, and I praise God for that one revelation that addresses really the sin of bestiality, homosexuality, and polygamy. All in that. Just think about that. It does. God's plan for man and woman is to live in harmony according to his design. If married, till death do you part. When God presented the woman to Adam, he loved her not only because she was like him, but because she was not like him. These differences exist due to divine design. They were not to divide us, but to unite us. Now, singles, in no way are you excluded, so please just stay with me. If you want to know how something is made and how it works, you would talk to the designer. After some dialogue, he or she may point you to the instruction manual. It's pertinent to understand and follow its instructions. Well, God is the designer, right? And the Bible is his instructions. And we need to point our children to both of them. Our children desperately need to know who God created them to be. The world around them says the line has been erased. Some say there's more than two genders, male and female. I've read an article that told me it's 72 genders. I read another article that said it was 112 genders. Then I read that there is no fixed number of gender identities. They occur on the spectrum, which really means that the possibilities are infinite. Doesn't it just grieve you to hear this? I know it grieves God. It grieves God. This lie is being force-fed into our nation's education system, workplace, and worship, even our homes. And that's by way of cell phones, computers, TVs, music. The enemy is getting in just that way. This is why it's important to go back to the basics, back to the book of beginnings, Genesis, and revisit God's prescription for humanity. Let us pray. Father, right now we just thank you, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, and we lift you up. We yield ourselves to you even now, for you are God and God alone. For you are high and lifted up. We worship you today. We ask, Father, that you would move by your Spirit this morning. Use your Spirit in such a way, just as well as you use men to write your word. I'm asking you, Lord, that I would totally get out of the way. Help me to share what it is that you desire for me to share, and help me to be quiet when I need to be quiet. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you for these things. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 15 through 25. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement." So the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found as his complement. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves or cleaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame." Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Now I want us to notice, it's going to be three things, three points that I'm going to touch on. We're going to try to work through these this morning. Point number one, male and female are different by design. They're different by design. God's revelation of human creation is male and female. We got a chance to see that when Pastor Les preached in Genesis chapter 1. That was 1 and 27. God created them, male and female. Why has this topic caused such conflict and such confusion? I believe it's because of how people view the world, their worldview. Some believe we evolved from an ape. Those who have bought into this lie believe that animals should have the same human rights as we do. Some even prefer animals over humans. One internet poll found where 70% say they would save their pet over a stranger. Talk about devaluing human life. And so our worldview does actually affect all of our decision making, even at the most apparent trivial level. Now let's turn our attention to some of these differences between male and female. Women are physically weaker than men. Men are physically stronger than women. God made Adam with a stronger physical frame. What job did God give Adam? To work the garden, right? To dress the garden and to keep the garden. That's Genesis 2:15. Work was an important part of representing the image of God. He provided Adam the muscles to dig and chop to work the garden. So why did God create Eve? To be a helpmate, a complement. By the way, her name Eve means life giver. God made Eve to nurture and to love. Because she is physically weaker than Adam does not mean that she is inferior to Adam. You hear what I'm saying? Please hear me clear on that. Somebody didn't hear me, so I'll share it again. Because she is physically weaker than Adam does not mean that she is inferior to Adam. Silk is weaker than canvas, but it is not inferior to canvas. Porcelain is weaker than steel, but it is not inferior to steel. Right? This is a fun one. I can't call it a fun fact, but I'm going to say this is a fun one. You know, whatever is on the internet must be true, right? Right? National Geographic, through a study, found that before birth, the hormones estrogen and testosterone control genes that in turn dictate finger length. As a result, most men have ring fingers that are longer than their index fingers. And the reverse is true for women. Now, he did say most. He didn't say all. Now, I know somebody is looking down at their fingers right now. So I'm going to give you about 15 seconds to look at your fingers. Let's carry on. Women have more brittle bones than men. Men and women are different on a cellular level. God made man to protect, care, and provide for the woman, not to compete against her. Although woman is the weaker vessel, it does not mean they are inferior to men. They're not lower in position. They're not lower in rank. They're not less valuable. They're not less worthy. Please keep in mind that the man and woman together are given the responsibility and the privilege of ruling over the rest of God's creation. Right? That's Genesis 1:27-28. This is very important. This was God's original purpose, plan. So who is better once again, male or female? Neither. Neither. Neither is better, just different. Okay, somebody with me. Amen, someone's with me. Wow. So in other words, Christian, No matter if the rest of the world is shouting out, there is no difference between man and woman, male and female. The Bible is absolutely clear in affirming this difference. Man and woman are different but complementary and different by design. That's why in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made and said it was very good, right? Including the essential difference between male and female. That's good stuff. Now it's obvious that male and female are clearly identical. They're not. I have pretty good insight on that, and I'm quite sure many of us here today that know the Lord have great insight on that, right? Well, every small boy suddenly realizes that I don't look like my sister. And she doesn't look like me. Why? It's because God uniquely fashioned them differently. Now you say, is that important? Well, it's important on far more levels than just the purely physical. Men and women are clearly not identical. And therefore, they don't have to function identically. If men and women are not identical, why do they have to do identical things? Where do you think a notion like that comes from? It doesn't come from the Bible. Now, this is not new information I'm getting ready to share, but it's official. Girls can now join the Boy Scouts. You heard that right. As February 1st, 2019, and just last night I was kind of thinking about that, 2019, February. I was like, man, that's about the time that COVID just kind of got like really started, right? So they kind of slipped that in, I think, you know, like during that time when the world is dealing with so many other things, they slipped that right into play there. I'm like, wow. You know, the organization's older youth program, Boy Scouts, is now called Scouts BSA, a change meant to welcome both boys and girls between the ages of 11 and 17. What really are the feminist lobby trying to achieve? The underlying current that is to built into the movement somehow or another is, unless the girl is able to embrace and take charge of every situation, it would mean that she is less than, she is supposed to be, she has not championed life in some way. No, says the Bible. The difference is clear, and the difference is important. It's important. They're important in life. They're important in marriage, and they are important in ministry. And the complementary nature of things is proven in Genesis 2:18. If you want to just kind of look at that again, we'll just look at it. We've read it already, but then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement, right? Point number two here. Woman is a helpmate for man. Let's read verses 19 through 22 again. So the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal, and every bird of the sky, and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found as his complement. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. I'm gonna drink some water here. Sorry about that. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So did God create Eve because Adam was lonely? No, I don't think so. How could you be lonely when God is talking to you while you're working in a garden? How can you be lonely when you have a direct line to commune with God? Lonely? How can you be lonely when you live in God's presence? Right? How could you be lonely? I just don't want to believe that he was lonely. Think with me for a moment. Will there be any loneliness in the new heavens and on the new earth? Absolutely not. Loneliness, I believe, came after sin. I believe God said it's not good for man to be alone, and because man alone could not fulfill God's plan. If you look at, you know, Genesis 228 or 128, you'll find that out. He actually could not fulfill God's plan. Matter of fact, let me look at that there. 128. Let's look at that so you can see it for yourself. Genesis 128. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. How was Adam to do that alone? Huh? It said God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. How could Adam do that alone? Okay. Furthermore, I can't find anywhere in Scripture that those who are present with the Lord being lonely. Why? Because loneliness can't live or hang around nor sneak its way into the presence of the Lord. This is all Adam had known, living in God's presence. So how could he have been lonely? Let me give some encouragement to the singles right now. Singleness in the Lord does not equal loneliness. Let's look at the life of the Apostle Paul real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 6 through 9. Six through nine. All right, here we go. I say the following as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all people were just like me, but each has his own gift from God. One person in this way and another in that way. I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Right? So we can see the Apostle Paul, he was single, right? And I don't believe he was a lonely person. He was about his father's business, right? He was following the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't believe singleness even brings just loneliness. So now in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God didn't say, it is not good for man to be lonely. Neither did Adam say, I'm lonely. God said it's not good for the man to be alone. The man, meaning a particular man, to be alone, because we could see the Apostle Paul's situation. He was not married once again, right? So a particular man, right? All right. So the word be means to exist. And alone, that word means by himself. So it's not good for the man to exist by himself. And why, once again? Because he would not have been able to fulfill the plan that God called him to fulfill. Amen. I'm glad someone got that. There we go. Hallelujah. I noticed that. All right. So let's look at Genesis 1:28 once again before I share what I share. I know we just read it, but this is called Faith Bible Fellowship, right? Right. Right. So let's read the Bible. Yes, yes. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth, right? Wow. How could the man, wow, I better be still here. How could the man be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth if there's no helper? No compliment or someone suitable for him. Thank God for giving us chapter 2, a more detailed, a more progressive revelation. So we see that God already had in mind Adam's helpmate, which was Eve. This provision was God's first and only intention. This was not plan B. God is omniscient, all-knowing. So this was not plan B. So what is Eve's purpose for man to be his helpmate, helper, his complement? This the Lord God made someone suitable for him. Someone to walk with him. Someone to talk with him on a one-on-one level, and someone who understands him. No animal could do all these things. No animal was quite like Adam. They had no conscience, no intellect, no reason. They had no spirit. God had to make someone for Adam, someone who would be sufficient, suitable for him, a helpmate. This term, ezer, or help, represents military support aid. It is the same word often used in the Old Testament when God came to aid the Israelites. So women, you are to man at one point what God was to Israel at one point. Hear that now. So you are a help, a support aid to him. Someone coined the phrase, if you want something done right, then I'm going to have to do it myself. Now, God is the only one that can make a comment such like that, and it'd be true every single time, right? So God put man to sleep and separated something from man. And then he presents it back to man, a woman, not an animal, not another man, not multiple women, right? A helper fit for him. Yahweh did not just make one for him, but from him, which is a more complete image of God on the earth. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Yes, I said, come on and talk to me, somebody. Amen. Well, amen it then. Can you amen? Amen. Amen. Lastly, the word that accompanies ease or help is the word connecto, meaning mate, which means opposite as to him, not opposite of him, opposite as to him, or corresponding as to him, right? A great visual explanation of the word connecto would be two wings on a bird. They are not the same, but they're equal somehow. They correspond to each other. Both are useful for flight, but they are not identical. When both are used together, they accomplish one purpose. Connecto denotes the idea of equality, a mirror image of a man, but the opposite of him. Not better, but just different. The differences was not to divide us, but to unite us, moving right along. Point number three, God designed marriage for harmony. Read verse 23 here. Let's go. Genesis 2. Well, I hope we're back in there. 2:23. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. Because the way God designed marriage from the start, woman is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, I believe we are being shown our need for harmony, our need for harmony, and how to achieve this in marriage. Marriage must be a primary, permanent, exclusive, and intimate relationship. I know that's a mouthful. Marriage must be a primary, a permanent, exclusive, and an intimate relationship. There's a treasure chest in verse 24 here. And this is where we get into a lot more of the application side of things here for marriage. We could read verse 24. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. One flesh. I would say that's harmony. If you one flesh, you in harmony, right? Harmony requires that marriage be a primary relationship. God did not create a father and mother for Adam, nor a child, but a wife. A man must leave father and mother in order to cleave to his wife to establish a one-flesh relationship. This means that the marriage relationship is primary, not the parent-child relationship. The parent-child relationship must be altered before the marriage relationship can be established. The cord must be cut. This doesn't mean abandoning parents or cutting off contact with them. So please hear me clearly on that. But it does mean that a person needs enough emotional maturity to break away from dependence upon his parents to enter marriage. And parents need to raise their children with this view in mind to releasing them. Yes, absolutely. It also means that if a couple builds their marriage around their children, or as more frequently happens, the husband builds his life around his career, while the wife builds her life around the children, they are heading for serious problems when it comes time for the nest to become empty. I know this is real stuff. I know. It is not helping the children either. The best way to be a good parent to your children is to be a good husband to their mother. Amen. Or a good wife to their father. Marriage must be primary. That is, if you want harmony. If you want harmony. Subpoint number two here, harmony requires that marriage be a permanent relationship. This follows from it being the primary relationship. Your children are with you in a home for a few years. Heard Pastor Jeremy just talk about what he heard, right? That is quick. It really is. Blink the eye. Wow. But your partner, your covenantal partner is with you for life, right? So cleave means to cling to hold to, as meat to the bone. Come on now, get your mind off of that chicken right now. It I know, meat to the bone. So it means to be glued to something. So when you get married, you're stuck, right? Stuck. Jesus. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Stuck is not stuck in a bad way here. So it's not. Jesus quoted this verse. He added, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man." You guys, I know, could have finished that. Yes, separate. That's Matthew 19:6. If you haven't seen that, you could take that little note for yourself, Matthew 19:6. This means that the marriage relationship must be built primarily on commitment, not on feelings of romantic love. Romantic love is important, but the foundation of marriage is a commitment of the will. It is a covenant before God. It's a covenant. It's not just a piece of paper. It's a covenant before the Almighty, transcendent God. Amen. Amen. Commitment is a choice that holds a couple together through the difficulties that invariably come. And when they come, and they will, never use the threat of divorce to try to leverage that conflict. Don't use that. And if you already use that term, confess it and repent. Wow. Jesus. Wow. Woo. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you. Number three, harmony requires that marriage be an exclusive relationship. An exclusive relationship. This text says to his wife, not wives, right? Not wives. Monogamy is God's design. One man, one woman for life. Although polygamy did happen in the Old Testament times, it was not his original intention. Amen. Not God's. God easily could have created many wives for Adam if he wanted it to be that way. But he did not do that. One man, one woman for life. That's God's design. But I also want to be sensitive to those who have been divorced, right? And then for those who's been married multiple times. I want you to know this. There's room to lay it down at Jesus' feet and receive his forgiveness and healing. Just confess that before the Lord. Just confess that before the Lord. This means that when you get married, you give up close friendships with other women, men, and wives. Do the same. You want to do this to respect your wife or respect your husband and to safeguard the marriage. This will help you stay away from the appearance of evil. So men, women, hear me on this. You give up your freedom to go out with the guys whenever you choose to. You have a relationship with your wife. She is now your first priority in terms of human relationships, because God comes first, right? But as far as human relationships, she comes first. If you can't handle that, you aren't mature enough for the demands of marriage. Ladies with husbands, the same goes for you also. Number four, harmony requires that marriage be an intimate relationship. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Marital intimacy, I had to choose my terms rightly here, is more than just physical. There is relational and emotional oneness as well. Most marital intimacy problems in marriage stem from a failure of total person intimacy with your spouse. Yeah, some people are holding back some things. You're not totally open with it all. If this union is going to experience harmony in this area, meaning marital intimacy, then it must be built on the foundation of a primary, permanent, exclusive relationship. That is growing in trust. You have to be growing in trust. Honesty and openness, which is two different things, right? Honesty and openness is a must. It's a must. Let me share with somebody that may not know. Honesty. If your wife or your husband asks you a question and you answer it rightly, truly, you're being honest. But for them not to have to ask you a question and you share something before they ask you the question, you're being open. I thought I'd just throw that in there. That's a nugget. And honesty and openness, like I said, is a must. It brings oneness. God made us that way. If you remove this special bond from the context of marriage commitment, you will experience a superficial sense of closeness. Paul says that even when a man is joined with a prostitute, he becomes one flesh with her. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:16. We will not be turning there. You do that on your own. But apart from the lifelong commitment of marriage, physical love will never bring the satisfaction God designed it for. Say that again. But apart from the lifelong commitment of marriage, physical love will never bring the satisfaction God designed it for. Sin always hinders intimacy, even in marriage. To the extent that we deal with our sin before God and one another and grow in holiness, we will grow in personal intimacy, which in turn matures us for a covenantal partner. See how that works? For a covenantal partner. It prepares us when we keep short accounts with God, being real personal with God. If you could be that way with God, you need to be that way with your spouse. Be open with them, right? Okay, amen. I'm glad somebody's getting it. It takes constant work. Constant work. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. If you get in counsel and they tell you about marriage and they say it's not work, they're lying to you. It takes constant work. Good marriages aren't the result of luck in finding the right partner. They're the result of couples who work daily at walking openly and humbly before God and with each other. We all got work to do, right? In that area. Married people, right? All right. But God didn't design marriage just so that we could be happy and have our needs met. He designed marriage to be a testimony for him. Godly marriages bear witness of what it means to know God. Point number five here, God designed marriage to provide an illustration of our relationship. And we're wrapping up here. God created marriage for a purpose bigger than itself. Marriage is a picture of the believer's relationship with God. Paul writes, "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." That's in Ephesians 5:32, right? Marriage is an earthly picture of the spiritual relationship that exists between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. The consummation of a marriage is referred to in the Bible as a man knowing his wife. Even so, we can know Christ, our bridegroom. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I know that's right, Pastor Les. This is good. A husband and wife are one flesh. We are one spirit with the Lord. That's what 1 Corinthians 6:17 shows us. If you go back on your own, go look at that. Just as the church is to be subject to Christ, so the wife is to be subject to her husband. Just as Christ loves the church, so a husband is to love his wife, right? Just as the marital union results in children, so the union of the Lord and his church is to result in many offspring to God's glory. Amen. Someone has described marriage as God's doing with one man and one woman that which he is always trying to do within the world as a whole. So this marriage picture is deeper than what we think. That's why it's so important for us to work at developing a Christ-honoring relationship with our mate. We're working on a portrait of Christ and the church. That's what we're doing with our marriage. Want to hear that again? Yeah. We're working on a portrait of Christ and the church. That's what our marriage is supposed to be doing. Amen. And the world is looking over our shoulder. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what's happening. God's glory is at stake. God's glory is at stake. When you begin to look at it that way, that is so humbling. That's humbling. God's glory is at stake. So, men, however you treating your wives in public, God's glory is at stake. However you're treating your wives in the home when you're not in public, God's glory is at stake. Women, if you're not respecting your husbands out in public, God's glory is at stake. Women, if you're not respecting your husband in the home, God's glory is at stake. Just remember that. Amen. Our conclusion here, if you're single and content to remain single, then God's word to you is use your singleness, your single state, to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord and his work. Right? That's right. Amen. Looking at time. I wanted to turn there. But you singles, just write this down. 1 Corinthians 7:35. So 1 Corinthians 7:35. If you're single but desire to be married, God's word to you is be growing in godliness and purity. Right? And pray and look for a mate who is committed to do the exact same. Right? Amen. Your lifelong relationship must be centered on God so that it will reflect the world, in the world, a picture of Christ and the church. If you are married to an unbeliever, God's word to you is to win your mate without a word by your godly character and behavior. Now, I know it talks about the woman doing that, but that principle is for the men also. Right? It is men that's in the household, right? And their wives aren't safe, you know? So that principle goes hand in hand, the principle. 1 Peter 3:1-7, and that's for you to write that one down. Okay? Amen. So, if you're married, God's word to you is this. Are you growing deeper in companionship with your mate? Is your marriage growing in a way it reflects Christ and the church to the selfish, pleasure-seeking, lost world? If you can't honestly answer yes, then it ought to be a warning light on a dashboard to tell you that you are not in line with God's design for marriage. Marriages don't run on cruise control. I know a lot of cars do, but cars, right? But marriages don't run on cruise control. They require attention and work. Take immediate action to get it on target. Please, take immediate action to get on target. All of us. By God's grace and your commitment, you can have a marriage that both honors him and meets your needs. Male and female, the difference was not to divide us, but to unite us. God made male and female different by design. For those who did not believe this at the beginning of this message, I hope that God spoke to your heart and have convinced you of this truth. Not me. I hope the Holy Spirit has convinced you of this very truth. Lord, I pray that we all receive your word this morning for us and make the necessary changes with your help for this day forward, from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.